guest today is Rachel Appel. Rachel, how are you doing?
Doing well, Dave.
Shake my hand. Good to see you. Am nice I saying it right? Is it Appel or is it Apple?
Yeah, it's technically Appel, but Apple's fine, right?
And Appel is cooler.
Appel is cooler. It's a German root.
Right? Is it?
And actually, it's kind of fun, though, when I was at Microsoft, being the Apple at Microsoft.
I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, a little fun thing. So, you know, so Apple's fine, too.
What are we talking about today?
How about, like, JavaScript?
We should talk about, because you had the most confusing title of any session at CodeStock, maybe of any conference ever.
Yeah, so the title of my talk is, it's based off of that song, Hey, I Just Met You. And this is crazy. So here's my nan, and call me maybe.
Okay, these are JavaScript keywords, right?
They're all
this,
JavaScript
of course,
keywords.
Means something. Nan
this
is not a number.
Nan and call is a call keyword with me in parentheses, right? So it's a little play on a song and JavaScript. And I'm never going to think of another crafty title like this again.
Did people come?
It was a packed room. It was one of the bigger rooms too. So
nice. All right.
It's a bit of a comedy talk, right?
Yeah.
So I go through, and it's an hour of me mocking JavaScript.
Making fun of Java. They don't mean, we say mocking, you don't mean like mocking frameworks.
Right, not mocking frameworks. we do mock JavaScript, but in both ways in this case,
okay.
Right? In this case, we're just making fun of it.
So could I interpret that as that you dislike JavaScript?
Not at all. I do like it. But, you know, anytime I can actually make fun of anything I do, including myself.
You always mock the one you love.
Right?
That's another song, I think.
That's true. Mock the one you love. Ooh, that's going to go in a talk. So, yeah. But of course, it's not just, whining and complaining. It's also showing, like, hey, JavaScript has these interesting pitfalls or things that can confuse you or trip you up. So, let's make light of them, but then have a solution.
Yeah, that's the best kind of complaints. The complaints that actually lead to a solution.
Right, right.
As opposed to, that guy.
Right, right. So that's true.
Give me some examples. I have two books at home about JavaScript.
Yep.
And one of them, I think it's called JavaScript, and it's about that thick. It's like 1,000 pages long. And the other one is called JavaScript, The Good Parts, and it's about 100 pages
that
long.
Big.
It's like that thick.
Yep.
And that tells you all you really need to know about JavaScript.
In a nutshell, right?
Is that there's, if only this much of this, a very small percentage of the good parts, if I can just go by page count.
Right, right. And that's kind of what it is. So that's the Crockford book, that's the Bible. And actually, a lot of the stuff is out of that book. Because that's the stuff that does trip people up the most, right?
Okay.
Those kind of weird things. And it came from, JavaScript is an old language. It's been around.
Yep.
It's just not been popular like it is now. And what happened is when it was first invented, it was invented when HTML had, six tags or, there was hardly anything.
Okay.
We were still using Marquee and Blink, right?
You're not using that anymore?
Okay, I do. Don't tell anyone. Actually, it's kind of fun to sneak in a Blink tag once in a while, but they're obsoleting those, unfortunately.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
All right, let's stay on focus here.
Anyway, so way back when, JavaScript was invented to work with a tiny sapling DOM tree, right? It was just barely a tree. And so a lot of these things didn't come up until JavaScript had evolved and the web had evolved.
Okay, yeah. Because the web originally was just a way of linking it together, documents and pictures of cats.
That's the whole...
It's a lot more now.
All right, more cats.
That's good.
All kinds of cats, even the grumpy cat. That's
so
my favorite cat.
The pages themselves are just, they're huge. I mean,
right.
You can download a meg sometimes just for a web page. That's
right.
A lot of DOM.
Yes, there is. And that's the thing. The DOM has gone from a sapling to a tree to the whole freaking Amazon jungle, right?
Okay.
That's what it's like now. I mean, just take a look. Think of, Facebook. If you were to look at the DOM that's built for that application, it's crazy, and it's a big single-page app. So that's what we're dealing with now. John Rezik, the founder of jQuery, had a talk he was giving called The DOM is a Mess, right? And because the DOM is a mess, JavaScript works off of it.
So JavaScript gets blamed for a lot of the problems in the DOM.
Really, it's the DOM.
When the DOM is slow, JavaScript gets blamed. So JavaScript's slow.
DOM's kind of a jerk.
Okay.
Right, and JavaScript gets blamed for it.
So is this
one
of the problems that we have a solution for?
Yeah, somewhat. So here's what happened. So the DOM, we can't do much for for now, right? Because it depends on the people who are building the website, okay. right? If I only include, you know, a small, if I only have a tiny page, I have a tiny DOM, right?
Okay.
Now, way back when, that's all we had was tiny pages, right?
right?
And that was it. We barely even had GIFs. They certainly weren't animated, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. But now there's so much complexity to just what's built, let alone what script interacts with it, that that's the struggle, right? That, you know, ties between those two. So there are things we can do. And some of the stuff I talk about are things like, just in JavaScript itself, if we're using the DOM, there's that this keyword, which is part of the title of my talk. And this gives us a little bit of a problem sometimes, because unlike C# or statically typed languages, those have the keyword this refers usually just to a class.
Right.
And that's it. And we're done. No more thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
JavaScript is like, well, what is this? Well, it depends. If I click a button, this is the button.
Right.
But if I click a button, and this will turn into the button, but a little bit later in code, I loop through, say, an ordered or unordered list, and all of the list items. As I loop through, each list item will become this. So
right.
it'll be this, then this, then this, and it keeps changing during the loop. And if you come from C#, you're not even going to think that that's going to happen.
Right.
Right. And then you might be referring to this inside of a loop or something, and it's not going to be what you expect. So this can be that or anything.
I have been thrown by that. So yeah. when we go into an event, that right away this refers to the object that fired the event. And that kind of, I can get my head around
right.
that.
Right.
But then, like you said, a few lines later, all of a sudden this just becomes something else.
Yeah.
And that confused me. Why do I solve that?
Well, so things that you need to, this is where knowledge is power, mm-hmm. right? Because there's not necessarily a tool that's going to help you,
mm-hmm.
Except for maybe some linters might pick this out and say, hey, you're working with this, you know, you just might want to check. But
what was it somewhat?
Oh, what's called a linter. So I'll talk about linters in a second.
Okay.
So for this, the knowledge is power thing is with this. So what we do is we just need to know what this turns into as this runs, and we can do this by knowing about this concept called closures.
Hmm.
So not the language closure, but what's called a closure.
Hmm, what's closure?
And so a closure is when we have a function, and in JavaScript you can have a function, and you can have a function inside of a function, so you can have nested functions. So I can have function in a function in a function. I can have functions all the way down. Right? So what happens is if I have a variable in the outermost function, the function inside of it should be able to access that variable, right?
Okay.
And if I declare a variable inside of that inner function, where can that variable be seen, right? Well, it can be seen inside of that function, and depending on what language it is, you might be able to see it outside of that. And in JavaScript, you can. And that's what's called the closure, is when we have that availability of variables between functions or in between a function and a block of code inside of it.
Hmm.
JavaScript has what's called function scope, not block scope.
Okay.
So if I declare a variable inside of an if statement,
uh-huh.
inside of a function, that is nothing, right? It's not, there's no block scope. So it's just declared inside of there, but it's not block scope. So these are the kind of things to know about. So if we know that closures happen, and we can do them by this nested functions and nested blocks, then we can see when this might change into something else. So it's really just tracking it and just kind of keeping track. And you'll actually see a lot of people do this little, kind of a little pattern, and they'll say var that equals this, or var self equal this. And that way they can trap this at the start of an outer function,
mm-hmm.
and then when they go into an inner function and they create this turns into something else, then they can actually track two of them.
Okay, so
right?
They preserve
and you can access,
the original this.
You can preserve
the variable
original,
named that.
And then you can actually access like a different this in a different closure.
All right, that makes sense.
It's like that. So that's something that trips people up, because you just don't think about that if you came from a statically typed kind of background.
Okay.
Right?
What's some other things
other
that trip
things,
people up?
Now, something that's not related to the DOM is just a JavaScript thing in and of itself. A very basic thing is equality, right?
Oh, yeah. There's equals, double equals, and triple equals.
Well, there's double and triple.
Double and triple, okay.
So it's called technically...
I guess the single is just an assignment.
Right. Single's an assignment. So the double equal is technically called an abstract equal,
I didn't know that.
Fancy con.
What's the triple eagle called?
It's called strict equals or exactly equals.
Okay.
So the rule of thumb here, before I even explain anything, is just use the strict equals, right, as a rule of thumb.
Okay.
Just do that everywhere. So what happens is JavaScript doesn't do typing. JavaScript, I call it like hippie language. Right? It's just kind of like, woo, let's do whatever, right?
Whatever, dude.
So it'll take a variable. It'll be whatever you want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. So it, to JavaScript, everything is just a block of stuff, just a data structure, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a type. But when you need to compare things, JavaScript then says, oh, yeah, that whole typing thing. Yeah. I kind of have to convert it in order to be able to make a comparison.
Suddenly it cares.
Yeah, suddenly it cares. So all of a sudden, right, you know, it puts down the crack pipe and starts doing what, right, starts converting.
Kids,
right?
Don't do drugs.
Smoke enough and then you're, you know, creating JavaScript. So it has to do that conversion. And when you let software do the thinking for you, it'll convert and it might not be what you thought it would convert to, right? So you could have things, you know, like false in single quotes.
I could say, does
false,
is that a Boolean?
Right, does false keyword equal false? No, that's true, even though false is false.
I see.
Right,
okay.
So you get weird things like that, right? So that happens. So that happens with the abstract equals, the standard equals. Right? So what happens is with the strict equals, it won't have none of that.
Okay.
Right? It's not going to let them
put quotes around it. It'll just it'll know it's a string always.
Well, what it'll do is it will not convert. It just says, if you are not the same type, too bad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You don't equal. And technically, that's correct. That's true.
That's the way I'm used to. Yeah.
Right. So that's what that does. So if you know about the conversion and you specifically want it to be able to do that, in rare occasions, you can use the standard equals.
All
but
right.
For the rule of thumb, if you really want to get consistent results, use the strict equals. So with this, the strict, not the keyword this, but also with the keyword this, some of these things, because we know these are a little bit of issues, later on, it's not going to be anytime soon, but ECMAScript 6, and JavaScript is ECMAScript,
right?
That's the standard for JavaScript. These things are being built into the spec.
What things?
Right? Things like this, like a little bit more of helping out for this and the equalities and being able to say, turning on like a strict mode say what it'll do is if you use the standard equals, it'll be like, nope, don't do that. Those kind of things. And actually, it does a lot of what TypeScript is actually doing a lot of this today.
Oh, okay.
Right, so TypeScript is ECMAScript 6 now, right?
Did TypeScript look at some proposals for ECMAScript, or is the standards committee looking at TypeScript?
I think it's going to go a little bit of both, because Anders is the one who made TypeScript.
Anders is the inventor of C-sharp and Delphi, right?
Yep. And
one of the inventors, I should say. I don't want to leave everybody else off.
Right. So so he looked at that and then built TypeScript. And, you know, so it solves a lot of those problems that you might run into that ECMAScript 6 will eventually get around to doing. But because it's a standard, you know, it's going to be a decade before this stuff hits the shelves, right? Then adoption, popular adoption, will be a few years after that.
Sure.
So what do you do in the next decade? Twiddle your thumbs? No. Mm. Right? So we have things like TypeScript, or you can just learn these things, right? Either or. So it really depends on you and your team and all that good stuff. So there are they're kind of the big things. And with the quality, so we not only have those operators, but we also have things that are called truthy and falsy.
Yeah.
So we don't really have like, oh, it's true and false. It's, well, maybe it's true, sort of false, you know. So, and depending on if that value is truthy or falsy, will depend on the conversion and all that kind of stuff.
What does that mean,
truthy
and falsy?
So truthy and falsy, technically, like, true and false keywords are true and false. Right?
Okay.
And technically, anything that is not false or zero is kind of true.
Okay. Right? So the word fish is true.
Yes, the word fish is true.
All right.
Yes. Where Dave Jard is true.
I'll say this.
Right. Yeah, so that's the thing. So what it does is it takes a look at if something is what it would consider truthy or consider falsy.
Okay.
And then it would make that conversion based off of it.
And for equality purposes.
For equality purposes. And that's the standard equals. The strict equals will have none of this game.
I see.
Right?
Okay.
It doesn't let you get away with that nonsense. So that's the thing. If you use the standard equals, there's all kind of little things between truthy and falsy and conversions that can just get in the way. And it's, you know, trying to memorize all this stuff is just silly, right? You just can't.
Okay.
Right? It's, or you have no life. If you, right? Or Jesus, memory, right? So, but so that's why we have the linters, right? So Crawford actually made JS Lint.
Okay. And what does that do?
Go to jslint.org. And mm-hmm. basically, a linter is a, you could kind of think of it as an after the fact compiler. Right?
Okay.
It's not a not really a compiler, but what it'll do is it'll go through your code and it'll take out the linty things, right? Kind of like you're linting your clothes or compiling.
Oh,
say,
yeah.
So that where the compiler would yell at you for doing something or maybe, say, automatic semicolon insertion. JavaScript does that, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially you don't put the,
right.
the curly braces on
right.
the correct line.
Right. And actually, something you can do in JavaScript, you can not put the opening curly brace, but you can use an end brace.
Oh, really?
I know, but who does that?
Right.
Right? Other than accidentally, I forgot to type one.
Hmm.
But it will let you get away with that. But a linter will be like, no, no, no.
Oh, I see.
So that's what it does. So in a way, that stuff, a compiler would pick up that stuff in other languages, right? So a linter picks this up, but after the fact, because JavaScript's interpreted and it all has to be after the fact.
So what is a linter? Does it actually change your code, or does it just tell
you
where you should
you.
Change it?
Right,
okay.
It just tells
right.
you where you should change it. And you could do things like you could take the go to like jslint.org and you can incorporate linting into your continuous integration and your build process and all of that. Now jslint is very strict, right? So there's, you know, of course, then it's too strict for some, so they go to jshint, which is a diet linter. I call it diet linting. So it'll yell at you, but just not as mean as jslint does.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll do that. And you can do things like there's a little tool called JS Fiddle that you can go to. It's just an online playground. You can just paste some code in there, some HTML and JavaScript, run it, and it'll integrate with JS Hint and let you play with some code and see if it's correct and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. So it's an extra little tool to do that. But, you know, now that JavaScript has just busted out on the scene, right?
Sure.
And everybody's doing, you know, fancy pants apps all over the place. And
the apps are getting bigger.
And then, like, literally about every day there's 10 new JavaScript frameworks, right, for everything from, like, MVVM
to Is there a Rachel.js yet? I bet there is.
There should be,
I bet there's an Apple.js.
Oh, I bet there is.
I don't know the
right.
one, but I bet there is.
I think there should be. So there's all those, you know, every day there's new frameworks and stuff, you know. So it's really, really popular. And with that kind
it's
of popularity.
It's on the server side now, too. For
right, it's on Node. Node does it on the server. That's not new. We could do that years ago. It's just that everybody laughed and nobody
did.
Yeah,
but now it's the thing.
It's the thing, though.
So are you, when you write applications, are you running them through linters?
Yeah, I do. When I'm, you know, writing real apps and stuff like that, I just had demo code today, of course. But, that's why I suggest that people do that, because it does pick up, you know, those little things that, you know, you're tracking a bug and then a week goes by and you're like, damn bug, right? That week will not be wasted, right? It'll pick that up a lot earlier than if you didn't have those kind of tools. So between stuff like, you know, Visual Studio or other editors like WebStorm or whatever, between those and a linter, you should be pretty good. And then, of course, if you're doing, you know, like massive enterprise stuff, you may even consider, again, TypeScript, because that's a way to help manage JavaScript.
Yeah.
What it does is it takes patterns in JavaScript that you would make yourself, right? So I would maybe do a revealing module pattern as kind of a standard thing to go with each page and stuff like that. And TypeScript will actually just generate that for you. So what I do is I can make classes or objects, not classes per se, but I can make objects in JavaScript. And TypeScript will let me do that with defining them as a class with the class keyword.
Right.
In JavaScript, there's this prototypal syntax, and a lot of developers, you know, sometimes syntax just doesn't look good to certain people, and it's technically accurate, but just doesn't look good, right? You see syntax all the time you like, and it looks nice, it's sugary, and then stuff is not.
There's something to be said for code that's easy to read.
Right,
it's
right,
easier
that
to,
too.
If it's easier to read, it's easier to maintain. So
right.
being able to look at something and immediately get it is a big advantage.
Exactly.
There.
And the prototype syntax puts off a lot of people.
Right.
So what TypeScript will do is you use the class keyword and an inherits keyword and stuff like that, and it will generate that
pattern. So unless you write C-sharp-like code.
See, really, it's
including
training,
type safety as well.
Type safety, training wheels for C-sharp folks going to JavaScript.
And also ECMAScript 6 now, which is my favorite part, right? ES6 now, right? I want that. I mean, I'm somebody who could write the prototype stuff. That's I'm used to doing that, but a lot of people don't want to do that.
Sure.
You know, so that's a helper there too. If you, you know, rather than hitting all these pitfalls, you know, I would rather see somebody lean on something like TypeScript than be writing crappy JavaScript all the time, right? So if you have a tool that will create and generate proper JavaScript that you can at least comb through and see how it's done, that helps out a little bit better. And unlike most code generators that generate crap all over the place, TypeScript is pretty good at what it generates. It's what's needed and what you would write anyway.
I see.
I haven't found anything yet that's like really out of whack or anything like that. So it's a nice, easy, you know, it's a great transition, and it's also easier for a lot of people to manage it in big enterprise apps, right? That kind of thing.
Okay.
JavaScript is hard. It's a lot easier to do that with the static language, right? Big apps.
Right.
Dynamic languages and functional like JavaScript, a little harder. It's, you know, it's like herding cats sometimes.
Right.
You know, things like this or the equality, stuff like that popping up all the time.
Sure, or even just the errors that you don't occur until you run it.
Another thing was, I have a slide that I put up and it just said, seems legit, and it shows a piece of code, and the code is a function with no arguments and a call to that function where arguments are actually passed in, but yet JavaScript will not yell at you.
Interesting.
Try that in C Sharp.
I wouldn't like that.
It wouldn't let you, right? Compiler.
I wouldn't need a compile.
You have to define the argument, right, in a statically typed language. Well, in JavaScript, you don't even need to declare arguments, but you can still pass them in. So, which would, most people aren't going to intentionally do that, but I can see people accidentally doing that. And, you know, sometimes the tooling, if you don't get a tool tip, you might, you know, type a little fast and move past that or something, and those kind of things can get you. You know, that wouldn't necessarily cause a bug in and of itself, but another developer would look at that and give it the hairy eyeball.
It's probably a mistake if you do that, right?
Well, it is a mistake.
You basically lose those who pass them in.
But the code will run just fine, and it won't
yell.
It'll
just ignore it. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't even ignore it. If you pass it in, you can actually use it even if one isn't declared.
Oh, I see.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So isn't that weird, right? And you can do two things. You can actually just call it by the name that you passed it in, or you can do arguments, like an arguments array.
Ah, I see.
Arrays is another thing. There's no actual arrays in JavaScript.
Really?
It's just a data structure of stuff. That's it. You can actually go out of bounds. Oh, no error. We're kind of cool. Yeah, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Other languages crack you on the knuckles for that, you know?
Yeah. The problem is that when you do stuff like that, very often you don't intend to do it.
You and don't
compiler,
intend to do it.
The compiler kind of saves you from the mistake. It's possible you did intend to do it, but...
Right, and that's where the linters help again, right?
Okay.
So they'll recognize things like that, right?
All right. So if somebody's struggling with JavaScript and they're hitting all these you know, bad parts, where are some resources they can go to?
Yeah, well, first of all, start looking for linters. That book, The Good Parts, is a good book, right?
So,
or The Bad Parts.
JavaScript, The Good Parts.
Good Parts. So it lists the good parts, the bad parts, the ugly parts, all that good stuff. So that's a good resource. Anything to do with patterns that you can learn about is very helpful because that helps tame it, right? Other than little things like equality and stuff, but the overall picture of using code and writing code closures, you know, how code flows, patterns help a lot in JavaScript. So that's something. I actually write a lot about JavaScript. So
where are you writing?
At rachellapel.com. That's kind of an easy, or you just, you know, bingle me, right?
Bingle.
Or bingle who? Bing, Google, Yahoo? Hit them all, right?
I keep forgetting Yahoo's still a thing.
I know. Hey, Lycos is still a thing. It's actually out there.
Web crawler? AltaVista?
I'm going to have to check and see. That'd be kind of funny if they are, right? Web crawler? So that you can go to my website, right? I write a lot about JavaScript and web development in general. So we have that, and, you know, or crazy funny talks that people give.
Like you?
Yeah.
Where are you speaking next?
I think, let's see. We're in July, so next is DevLink in Chattanooga in
August.
I'll
be there. Awesome.
Okay. And then New York City Code Camp in September.
I'm debating that.
Okay.
There's only a couple more days before I have to decide.
Oh, yeah. The call closes soon. And let's see. I'll be at the VS Live conferences at the end of the year. So there's one in Orlando. And, oh, next month, one in Redmond. I'll be there. So that's, like, kind of my lineup for the year.
Excellent. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
favorite online TV show is Technology and Friends by that Dave Giard guy. It's pretty cool.